Good morning, everybody. Oh, such enthusiasm. Thank you. You guys excited to be here? Isn't that a great day? Sunday, the day we get to worship our God. We get to worship God every day, but I especially love Sunday because it's the day I get to see all of you. As, like I said many, many times, worship is important, but fellowship is important as well. And those are the two things that we do when we come together on this day. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So I hope you guys get a chance after worship today to fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we do have a fellowship meal after church. So lucky for you, I plan to keep it short today. Yes, we're going to be doing, let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the fellowship we have with one another. But most importantly, Lord, thank you for your Son he sent on the cross. And as we study your word today and apply it to your lives, we never lose sight of that important gift that you've given us. We thank you for all that you do. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Keep up with your reading. You got Romans this week and Hosea. So some very good stuff, and we're trekking through. We've got about 100 days left of our reading through our Bible in a year. You guys all keeping with it? Yeah, some of you. Good job, Kevin. I'm excited for you. Today I'm going to be doing something different. Instead of preaching on a subject that we are reading through, I'm going to take a time to do something else because it's very, very important. In fact, I'm going to cut my lesson short today to talk to you about, so John can come up and talk to you about how important that is, and that is financial responsibility. Yay! We have a very big financial responsibility to God, to our household, but also to the church, and that's what John's going to come up and speak to us at the end. But to get us started, I'm going to talk about this. And do you guys know how much I love doing money? Rachel, how much do I love doing money? I hate it. In fact, it terrifies me. Do you know what I do in the house? I do almost all the household chores, except for the kitchen. I don't do the kitchen. I do all of the laundry. I do all of the yard work. Do you know why? Because that's how much I don't like dealing with the financial responsibility of the household. In fact, when I was in college, we had to take a class on ministerial taxes. And I'm like, and I was already married to Rachel at this point, but you are coming to this class with me because I need you to be able to know how to do this, because if I had to do it, we would be in so much trouble. But it is important, right? You guys manage your money. You're not like me and pretend, oh, well, I pretend that it doesn't exist and hopefully it's always there. No, because we know that we have to do it. It is not only our responsibility to our families, it is our Christian responsibility. Is this one going to die on me too? No, there it goes. But we don't really think about it as a Christian responsibility because we don't really see it as a spiritual thing. But really, it is a spiritual thing because even though all the things Jesus taught us to do, some of those focus on God, where the others of those focus on our everyday lives. And this is one of those things that certainly is a part of our everyday life. Things in our house doesn't run just on faith alone. It runs on careful planning and support and doing the right thing. So why do we budget? Why do we take care of financial responsibility? Well, there are certainly good reasons, and there are certainly great reasons or biblical reasons, but I just want to talk about some of the worldly things really, really quick. The first one is it helps us keep our eyes on the prize. You guys all have something that you want to do, right? Maybe you want to go on vacation, or maybe you want to buy this new piece of equipment for your farm, or maybe you want to get into managing bees for some reason. I don't know. All of those things cost money, and normally those kind of things that you save up for are not something that you could just go out and buy without taking the careful time and effort to plan. So when you budget, you kind of say, okay, this is what I need to do to build for that. Or maybe you apply that same goal to retirement. You basically work for 40 years, and then you expect that money you set aside is going to help you do that. Or maybe you set aside money because you know emergencies often do happen, and you're going to have to do something, like if your child breaks his leg, or whatever. So this is all the reasons society tells us to save money. But the Bible talks about finance so much. Do you know how often the Bible talks about money and finances? Do you know how often? It is the number one subject mentioned in the Bible. It is mentioned almost twice as much as love. That's how important the Bible views it. And so when we look at how we apply finances and money and budgeting to our lives, it's important that we turn to Scripture for these answers. And there's a lot of different places, but like I said, I want to keep it short today, so I'm just going to look at some. And the first one is that we need to be able to count the cost. Now, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus issues this parable about which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he is enough to complete it. Every budget includes two things. It includes a debit, and it includes a credit. How much money you're making, and how much money you're spending. And what do you want to do? You want to make more than you spend, right? Because what happens if you spend more than you make? You're probably living on the street at that point. But Jesus, while Jesus is talking about this illustration of how some truths are hard, and how that you should... whatever you should invest in right. That same principle can be applied to money. Because if you go and you start a project and you do not see it through, what happens? You have a failed investment. Which means you've spent a lot of money on something that gave you nothing in return. And so when we look to doing these things, we look to planning our household budgets, our financial budgets for the year, or whatever we're doing, we need to make sure that we can count that cost. But we also need to make sure, as we see illustrated in here, that we avoid debt. This is the reason I don't like to do money, because I am so terrified of debt. Because debt is enslaving. It's devastating. And essentially, when we get to the point where we have so much debt, we are crushed by it. And then we have to serve it to get out of it, right? And what does Jesus say about serving a second master? Nobody can serve two masters. So if you are so consumed by your debt, you're not able to do the things you should be doing as a Christian. Because you are too busy worrying about getting out of that debt. But the psalmist even takes it a step farther. He says that those who borrow and cannot pay back, he says, they are wicked. That's how bad this illustrates it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. We are slaves to no one because we have freedom in Christ. So we are accumulating that debt and becoming a slave to it, and we are never going to serve our Christian purpose. And as such, to avoid debt, what do we need to do? We need to save money. It is very much a Christian principle. Now, a lot of Christians think that we don't necessarily have to save money. And when they turn to that, they turn to what Matthew says about in chapter 6 about storing up those treasures in heaven. It's like, don't store up treasures on earth, but it's where moths can destroy it. But instead, focus on treasures in heaven. But Jesus isn't talking about not being responsible. He's talking about focusing on the things that really, really matter. And if you are being irresponsible with your money, you're not going to be able to focus on those things that do matter. Now, granted, saving can become a temptation. That's what 1 Timothy illustrates. But only if it becomes a problem in your heart. This is essentially the lesson of the Pharisees, the lesson that Jesus taught constantly through the Gospels of things aren't necessarily bad unless you use them with wrong intentions. What's going on in your heart? So if you're saving for the wrong reasons, then it's a problem. But you should be saving for the right reasons. And plenty of scripture emphasizes this fact that how we need to wisely save our money, but we also need to wisely spend our money. How do we spend money? There are three things that we should always spend our money on. And one of them is probably the least important. First, on our giving. It's the number one thing we should always spend our money on. It's also probably the one that we spend the least amount of money on. Because everything we have comes from God. And as such, we are expected to give back to God. It's one of the reasons that we take a collection every single week, so we can give back to God. But you don't have to just do this here. You can go out and do this on your own and in the world. I'm probably getting myself into trouble. But yes, you need to be able to give back to God. But you also need to be able to support your needs. So after you figure out what your needs are, even though we give to God first, you need to make sure that you're not cutting the legs out underneath your feet, as the expression goes. And then finally, if maybe there's extra money left, then we could save for some of our desires, as long as those desires don't conflict with Christian principles. Good spending means looking at what the Bible teaches us to spend and how we are commanded to spend. And nowhere else in the Bible are we commanded to spend wisely than what we read about in Second Corinthians chapter 6, but we spend cheerfully. You guys like spending money? How many people like to spend money? Yes. How many people like to spend money on their bills? No hands for that one. How many people like to spend money in their giving? Good. Every single one of you should be raising your hands for that last one. Because when Paul says God loves a cheerful giver, that's what he means. He's like, when you look at the needs of the world, when you look at sharing the gospel, that should make you excited. That should make you joyful. That should make you happy. How many of you, when you write your check today or you put your collection in your plate, did that with a smile? Did anybody? Good. Good for you. This is my charge to all of you next week. Is when you give next week, I want you to make sure you have a big smile on your face, because you should be happy that you are doing that. Now, maybe you're not. Maybe you're worried about your needs. Maybe you're worried about the bills you're going to have to pay. But if your general reluctance to give has nothing to do with the things you need to support, and frankly, you shouldn't even worry about those things anyway, because God has already said He's going to help us take care of those things. But you're more worried about saving up for this trip, or you're more worried about buying that new toy, or whatever, then you are not really able to give with a cheerful heart, because you are slave to those items. Biblical budgeting is always giving our best and giving our first to God. And we need to be able to do that. And we need to find a way that does that, that works for us best. A lot of people suggest the 10-10-80 rule. 10% to God, 10% to savings, and 80% to your expenses. And while that doesn't necessarily work for you, maybe you like to give 20% to God. I don't know. You need to be able to do that with a contrite heart, but also a joyful heart. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, even though I'm talking about this today in the context of our personal budget, what John is about to come and talk to us about is something that we are all responsible for. We are to make sure that this building doesn't work just because of us coming together. It also works because we're doing the behind-the-scenes stuff too. And we need to focus on those things that support our vision, that support good stewardship, but also, most importantly, support the gospel here and around the world. We need to be grateful for those decisions, but realize that God doesn't want us to become slaves to this money, that we're using it for a good purpose. Our freedom was bought with a price. And luckily, we don't have to pay that price because that's a price nobody in this room can afford. But we cannot let those other things get in the way of freedom of what Jesus has given us. Now, I'm not going to offer an invitation today, but I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to John so he can say what he has to say. And I hope that we can continue fellowshipping with one another as we worship God. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you, John Paul. So, in my defense, the B comment was made towards... What's that? Well, Mary and I decided, and I'll give you a little back history on that. We decided about November last year, let's get into bees. Let's get a beehive. I wanted to get to, and going to the bee meetings, that's what they recommend. So, in case you have a weak hive, you can take a little bit from, and this all has application to what we're talking about. You can take a little bit from your stronger hive and give to the weaker hive and get them both through the winter. That's the whole goal. So guess how many hives we have at this point in time? I only purchased one. We have four beehives. Our latest addition was about 2 weeks ago, another swarm that we caught. I split one hive, our original hive, into another hive. That gives us two, and I caught a swarm, three, and this last swarm that we caught, which is very, very small. Fortunately, I have two hives that are doing rather well. And so I've taken some from the strong hives and have started to give to this weaker hive to get them built up so they have the opportunity to make it through the winter. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? A lot. If you've never observed bees, you will notice that if you ever observe bees, they all have a function in that hive, every single bee. The queen lays eggs. You have nurse bees that tend to the queen's needs, that tend to the new eggs, the larvae. And then you have foragers that go out and get the pollen and nectar to feed the hive. And then you have your drone bees, which are... therefore, mating purposes for the queen, initially. And then they just kind of wander around and eat, like a typical guy. Sit around and eat. Okay. But they all have a purpose, as small as it might be. We all have a purpose, no matter how small or how big it might be. And we all give. We're all supposed to give, whatever it might be. And we'll go into that here in just a little bit. I'll finish up with the giving part and that. A couple weeks ago, the men got together and we went over budget for the upcoming year. Our budget year starts the 1st of September of each year, ends the 31st of August. And last year, and I believe this is right, Kevin, is that $2,165 average contribution for the last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Not too bad. Praise God. Thank you, everybody, for searching your hearts and continuing to give. Those that are here, those that are on Facebook and have mailed their checks in, considering the year that we've had with COVID, the numbers are down. You all have still reached with your hearts, have reached into your pockets and continue to give. Times are difficult right now. I get that. But there's nothing better than to be able to still give with a smile, as John Paul alluded to. So, continue to do so. I thank you for that. Did we get any of those slides rolled in? That we did not. Okay. That's fine. That's fine. So, some of the amounts of money that we have, as those of you know, we sold the church house last year. So, we had some money income from there. Some of that money went to paying off the loan on the building, so we no longer have that mortgage payment. Some of that went to the roof. That was reaching, we were starting to have some problems with the roof, some little bit of leaking here and there, so we went ahead and got that fixed. The first time that it had been completely done in the 20-some years that we've been in this building. And the parking lot, first kind of major work that we've had done on the parking lot since we've been in this building. So things that have started to deteriorate and are starting to show their age, we went ahead and got fixed. Yay God, that we were able to do that and sell the house. As of I think the 29th, end of August, so it's about 2 weeks old now, Central Bank checking account balance of $48,000, Central Bank savings account of $13,000. We transferred about, from the tower revenue that we're currently getting, $1,216.70. Thank you. I found it. A month. So that's income that we get from the tower each month. We transferred over into a savings account $12,000 out of our checking account. And I'll come back to that here in just a moment. We have $15,000 in a money market account and a CD of $55,000, which gives us, and that CD matures May 22nd. It gives us total account holdings of about $132,000, and that's plus or minus from some disbursements since the beginning of September. We're doing well. Thank you, everybody, for your continued giving. It sounds like there is a lot of money. As you noticed back in July, it might have been a little stuffy in here, a little humid. There are two air conditioner units that function in here. One has two compressors. Well, they both have two compressors. The main compressor on one is out, and it's running on the secondary compressor, thus the continual running. It's going to die on us. Those come at a cost of, we were speculating, somewhere $10,000 to $15,000 per unit, five units on the roof. None of them have, I think they were new when we purchased the building, we put new units on, so they're over 20 years old. That kind of tells you where I'm going with some of this. We are going to have some more costs on upkeep of the building. Odds are, probably in the spring, we're going to be looking at replacing this unit. I say $10,000 to $15,000 on the unit itself. I don't know if there's an installation cost or not. It could be $15,000 to $20,000 per unit. And there's five of those big units up there, and I think there's still a smaller unit. Is that right, or is there six big units? I don't remember. Five and the one up front. So if we had to do them all, $100,000. Okay? Those are things for the building, upkeep. There's upkeep in everything. You all have houses, and you pay for upkeep in your own house. It's the same thing with here. We go out and to a job, get paid, and that money is used for your upkeep of your house and for, as John Paul has mentioned earlier, your needs. Your contributions here is the income for the church. That's how we pay for the lights, the electricity, the water, upkeep, all of our all the programs that we have. Can't think of another word at the moment. Such as our education. We support two ministries, the Hosteters and the R&T ministries, our outreach, fellowship, inreach, community service, which includes the backpack giveaway that we do, the coat drive, those types of things like that. Worship supplies. There's a youth fund in there as well. We try to be very transparent with the budget. The men try to be transparent. There's budget statements out on the table for the end of August was the last one, or a couple weeks ago maybe, something like that. Kevin does a fabulous job keeping up with that. And thank you, Kevin, for doing that. Praise God, we have two or three folks that are really smart on finances and accounting and that. So it's not an easy job trying to all the income and outgo and all that. Our budget for last year was just over $2,400. This year, the men have approved a budget, and it's down just a little bit, to $2,280. Okay, that is our new budget, weekly budget. That is what the men have determined, that we could take in weekly and function and pay everything we need to pay. Wish we had that. Could have had that up there. That's all right, though. With the proposed budget, or actually the approved budget that we passed on the 29th of August. My dates run together sometimes. And there were some disbursements out already. Pull up what Kevin mailed to us already. Or emailed out to the men. Let me get there real quick, sorry. So there are disbursements already on the utilities for the church building of $900, a little $917. There's postage out there. We've already sent money for the Hostetters and R&T Ministries. You might ask, what are we going to do with the income from the tower? The men elicit your input. What do you think we should do with some of that money? We are going to discuss that, I think, at our next men's meeting in a week, as far as a cap, a max amount that we're going to hang on to, and then start dispersing it to maybe some of these ministries or other areas to benefit and glorify and honor God. That's the ultimate goal with the money that we take in. Not to sit on it and say, oh, look how much we have, but what to do with those funds. So it's your money, that God's money that you're giving us. Okay, God has blessed us all with some sort of funds that you're giving to the church, that you're giving to God. And John Paul's handing out, I think, some of the budget stuff. Anybody else need one? So, to give out what... to disperse the funds as appropriate, as we decide appropriate, to benefit, honor, and glorify God. Did I cover everything, Kevin, that I think we needed to pretty well cover, I think, with the budget? If you have any questions with the budget and where we are, the direction that we're going, please get with any of the men and talk to us, let us know. We wholeheartedly and fully take all suggestions, recommendations, and comments. And especially with the men's meeting that we have coming up in a week, we would really, really like to get some of those comments from you prior to that. You can email, call, text, what have you, and we will take that to the meeting. So I just kind of want to finish up. Also, to help with the budget, if you purchase something for the building, for whatever, if we're having some kind of a community thing going on, and you purchase something, turn your receipts into Kevin. All this helps with budgeting, to see where expenditures are going. I know a lot of you just pay out of your pocket and don't want anything back, and that's great. Praise God. But this gives us a kind of an accounting a little bit of where funds need to go. Now, whether you accept a check back or payment back or not, that's entirely up to you. But the receipt helps us to budget and figure out where costs are going. John Paul, in what he had mentioned earlier, talked about some of his the giving and where it comes from. And it's all from your heart. That's where it starts. If you're not giving in the collection plates with a smile on your face, you need to search your heart. I plead with you to do that. God wants a cheerful giver. He wants you to be happy with what you're giving, however much that might be. That's between you and God and what you have decided. Not my business, that's your business and God's business. But what you give, do give cheerfully. If it's a dollar amount, which is, as we mentioned earlier, we do need the dollars to continue the business aspect of the church building, to keep that going, to pay John Paul, to send to ministries, and sometimes there are special needs out there for some of the ministries, and we send to those extra money as well. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. Some of you might know this. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all, out of their surplus, put into the offering. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." Giving is a sacrifice. If you've been reading along in the daily Bible readings, read through the Bible in a year, if you remember back in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the sacrifices that were there, what did God ask for? The best. "I want your first fruits." That's what God wants from us. He wants our first fruits. "I plead with you and I ask of you to search your heart, to ensure that what you're giving is appropriate, what you've purposed and what you've decided to give. But that's between you and God. But most of all, again, emphasize again, comes from your heart. If you have any needs, any prayer requests, any petitions that you wish to bring forward, you may do so as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.